Transcribed.
From where it happens, you hear it happen. The Mutual Newsreel is on the air. The Mutual Newsreel brings you on-the-spot news recorded the world over with the voices of the people who make the news. From where it happens, you hear it happen. Tonight, 4th of July observances from about the nation. Air Force unit completes mapping of Alaska.
Texas organization calls for no coat, no tie in hot weather.
Each Monday through Friday, the newsreel, in cooperation with Mutual's more than 500 stations and foreign correspondents the world over, brings you the voices of the people who make the news. Now, from where it happens, you hear it happen.
July 4th, 1949, 173 years of independence for this nation. At Williamsburg, Virginia, a reminder from Lieutenant General Walter Beadle Smith, former ambassador to Russia and Eisenhower's right-hand man during World War II. The independence was hard won. Nearly every generation has had to battle to keep it. After every war, we've disarmed too soon. But now, even with the West ahead on the Cold War's diplomatic front, General Smith stresses, we're building a strong military force.
If reports from the far-flung battlefronts, where the cold war of ideas is being waged in a struggle for men's minds, are encouraging, we must not allow ourselves to be so fatuous as to believe that ideas alone and unsupported are adequate weapons. It is our strength, actual and potential, and the realization that this strength has been growing, that has halted at least temporarily the tide of communist expansionism in Europe in the face of our determined opposition.
Our mistaken faith in the permanence of peace has cost us in the past. Smith pleads,
we dare not relax our vigilance because of a temporary success, nor dare we despair over a temporary frustration. As a nation, we are too prone to indulge in a false sense of security. We must face the fact that we are engaged in a contest of indefinite duration, and that in this contest, the prize of peace is to be won only by patience, firmness, resolution, and above all, by strength.
In the past, we failed to find lasting peace through weakness, according to Smith. We'll ensure peace only by keeping stronger than a potential aggressor. One of the outstanding Negroes of our time speaks for his race. The speaker, Dr. Ralph Bunche, chief United Nations mediator whose work in Palestine has earned worldwide recognition. In Minneapolis, he indirectly discredits statements that the Negro American would refuse to fight in another war if that war were with Russia. Bunche points out that the Negro, along with other Americans, believes in the ideals set forth in our Constitution.
In my view, because the Negro American believes in these principles and ideals, which make up the American creed, he would certainly fight to protect the country and its ideals. He has always done so, and I think he always will. But it is the responsibility, indeed the obligation, of the Negro American and of every American citizen, regardless of color or creed, to insist relentlessly on the privilege of enjoying his American birthright, which is equality of treatment and opportunity.
Our nation and the United Nations were founded on the premise that all peoples are equal. Their success depends on how close to fact we can take that premise. The Navy displays its seagoing wonders to holiday visitors. Navy vessels at most American ports are open to thousands of July 4th celebrants. One such is anchored off Santa Monica, California. Over the weekend, more than 15,000 guests board the USS Valley Forge, a 27,000-ton carrier that has the highest efficiency rating in the Pacific Fleet. On deck, the skipper, Captain Truman Heading, bids them welcome.
The United States Navy is proud to have been host to the many thousands of citizens who, during this Independence Day celebration, have visited this and other vessels all over the nation in order that they may have a better understanding of the important part their Navy plays on our great defense team. In like manner, these American citizens are a vital part of that team. They call the signals. Through continued teamwork and vigilance, we shall preserve the freedom and independence for which we have fought so hard and which we celebrate this day. This is Captain Heading aboard the USS Valley Forge off the city of Santa Monica, California.
A first-hand view of the Navy and its ships. Landlubber visitors get a taste of the sea. Today, too, an Independence Day celebration for the Philippines. It's the third one for these Pacific islands. 3 years ago, the Philippines set up a government based on the American example, a pioneer in democracy for the Asiatic world. In Manila, the young republic's president pledges continued resistance to Red advances. And in our own capital, Filipino editor and publisher of the Bataan magazine, Dr. Diosdado Yap, declares,
"The Filipinos were the first Asiatic people to become a free and independent nation. The new republic is an inspiration to Asia's millions. Having been educated by the United States for 48 years in the ways of democratic government, we Filipinos are just as conscious of the importance of July 4th as you Americans are. We are grateful for what we have learned from the United States. And consequently, we celebrate this day, as you do, with a mixture of joy and gratitude."
No less important because of its youth, the Philippine Republic stands as a Pacific example of democracy in operation. Now, a message of interest to everyone.
Say, remember the old saying about letting George do it? People used to say that when they had an unpleasant task to perform. We've all said it at one time or another, but it remained for one George Valentine to figure out that if people were forever going to let George do it, George might as well get paid for it. And so he set himself up in business and became known as the man who would do anything for a price. George has made a rather good thing out of it, too. Of course, his jobs are always pretty difficult and dangerous. If they weren't, no one would pay his price to have him do them. He doesn't pretend to do things all by himself, of course. Most men aren't as fortunate as George, though, in their choice of assistants. George, you see, has Claire Brooks. And besides being blonde and lovely and an asset to any office, Brooksy has brains, too, all of which makes her good moral support for George. Every Monday night at 8 over most of these stations, George has a new job lined up. And on this one, he takes you, the listener, along. Now, if you've never been along on one of George's jobs, you've got something a little different in adventure waiting for you. So listen to Let George Do It tonight over many of these same stations. Now back to the Mutual Newsreel.
From the Rockies to the Atlantic seaboard, America swelters. Heat marks are broken everywhere. Temperatures in the hundreds are common. But the weatherman, after a long and searching look at the weather map, holds out a faint glimmer of relief for heat sufferers in New England. Canada is contributing a mass of cold air. At Washington's National Airport, forecaster Reinhard Schmidt tells the cooling news.
The holiday weekend heat wave persisted through most of the east and middle west today, and although there won't be much relief for most of the area tomorrow, there is indication of cooler weather for most of New England and the northern states. In some sections of New Jersey, this has been the worst drought condition on record, and threat of water shortage is becoming serious, with no rainfall of consequence indicated during the next few days. This is quite a contrast to the rains of a few days ago at Hatteras, North Carolina, where over 17 inches of rainfall drenched that section during a two-day downpour. What the people of New Jersey need, apparently, is something that would help distribute this rain on an equal basis, along the idea of the old share the wealth plan.
For New Jersey and southern New York, where the 39th rainless day is almost over, and where crop losses are estimated in the millions, still no rain. Air Force photographers finish up a big job in Alaska and head for home. For 3 years, the 72nd Reconnaissance Squadron has stacked up photo maps of Alaska's desolate areas. After nearly 100 flights to polar regions, it pinned the magnetic North Pole to an exact location. Now the whole unit, 550 officers and men, is moving back to Idaho. At Ladd Field near Fairbanks, the squadron's commanding officer, Lieutenant Donald Hyland, talks to a reporter before the homeward flight.
The squadron's duty was to photo map the Alaskan area for the strategic location of defense units and installations, to obtain information necessary to establish air transport service, and to determine the existence of possible oil formations.
I see. Well, tell me this, Colonel. How many actual flights have the 72nd flown while stationed at land?
Well, that's a big order, but I believe that we've flown probably around, 2,300 flights, 2,300 flights, actual project flights.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about the flying hours?
That entailed probably about 12,225 hours. That sounds pretty accurate. I think that's about right.
The 72nd mapped 2,600,000 square miles. For the camera fans, that adds up to 1.5 million negatives. Men of Texas band together for a finish fight. This is a strict alliance against coats, ties, and button collars for the duration of hot weather. In the headquarters city of Fort Worth, the Male Comfort Club is about 4,000 strong, and it's picking up recruits in the outlying district daily. The movement was born 3 years ago in editor Walter Humphrey's daily column for the Fort Worth Press. Organizer Humphrey says,
"Men are crazy to sweat and suffer in summertime all because of silly convention, largely imaginary, because they think other men won't do business with them unless they're perspiring beneath coat, collar, and necktie. Dignity and comfort can, after all, go hand in hand. It doesn't follow by any circuitous line of reasoning that a man is a playboy just because he sheds his coat and tie when the weather's hot."
The MCC has three types of membership available, ranging from the bold to the almost.
Class A members go without coat and tie. Class B members give up their coats but keep the tie. And Class C members, who have no actual standing at all, carry their coats. Ours is a great club because it has no officers, no dues, no meetings, no minutes, no code of ethics, and no ideal but comfort. That's why we've got about 4,000 members in Fort Worth and several flourishing outposts in other southwestern cities. We've had a difficult time trying to break down the resistance of salesmen, bankers, and lawyers who go to court, but the idea has gained great momentum. Many men have drawn courage from the movement and have been converted to comfortable dress.
Humphrey says he'll be glad to charter other clubs if there's a popular demand. The July heat should supply that demand.
You have been listening to the Mutual Newsreel. Tune in at the same time tomorrow evening and every evening, Monday through Friday, for the news, action, and voices of the people who make the news. You are on the scene with Mutual reporters at home and abroad when the news is made. Mobile crews report the action. Eyewitnesses and those who make the big news of the world and in your hometown tell their stories on the Mutual Newsreel. Remember, from where it happens, you hear it happen. Tonight's edition was broadcast and transcribed from Williamsburg, Virginia, for the speech by General Smith. The Filipino commentary was from Washington, D.C. Dr. Ralph Bunch spoke via WLOL, Minneapolis. The Navy statement was from Captain Heading aboard the carrier Valley Forge. KFAR Fairbanks, Alaska reported on the photo squadron. And Editor Humphreys was from KFJZ, Fort Worth, Texas. This is a Mutual Broadcasting System.